destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. This is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome to the show. For those of you who might be new this evening, we are a show that's mostly about your future, your destiny, and your life. I have a topic every Monday night that I talk about at the beginning of the show, which will start soon. And the topics are meant just to sort of provoke thought, deeper thought, to raise consciousness, and to teach about the card system that we use on the show, which is called The Cards of Your Destiny, based on my books, The Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards. It's a very ancient system. I do not possess this system. I did not originate this system. It's been used for thousands of years. It's just been kept secret for a long time. And in the system, every birthday is a card in the deck, and that card defines you, much like your astrology chart defines you. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 53 cards in the deck. There's also a joker to consider in the mix of things. So we talk about the cards a little bit, and around 7:30, plus or minus 10 minutes, we will take a break. And after that break, I will open the phone lines will be open for you to call in and ask questions. And I invite you to ask about whatever is really important in your life, what might be coming up. Sometimes people call in and they are expecting me just to kind of give them a fortune-telling kind of a reading. And instead, they get something else, and I hope you're not too disappointed. But I've been doing readings now for 20 years, and I've seen pretty much every situation that can happen in life. And I have a sense for how things are going to go. And, you know, sometimes we think our life is, we'd like our life to change, and yet we are the ones that are preventing it from changing. And the cards are not going to do it for you. You know, like if you have a great fear, let's say you have a fear of success, which a lot of people do, and it may not be conscious at all. No matter what the cards show, you'll have opportunities that might show up in the cards, but your fear of success will ultimately cause you to sabotage yourself. So sometimes my answers to the questions that come up during the question and answer phase of the show are addressing what's really the issue, the core issue, which is what I personally enjoy the most. I enjoy getting right down to the core issues of things much more than just trying to read the cards, because I know that the cards aren't going to change your life. The cards aren't going to make you be different than you are. The cards are not going to cause you to face your fears. That's your choice. But the cards can help us pinpoint what our fears are or what the issues are that we're facing in our life and help clarify things and at least remove some of the confusion around it. Also, the cards will show us opportunities coming our way. Every year, every single year, there are opportunity cards that show up in our yearly reading. By the way, the years in this system begin on your birthday, not on January 1st, unless you happen to be born that day. So here we are in January, but if you were born in June, you're past the halfway point of your year already. And that's how we read these. And there are cards that are in my book for every year of your life, and these are not cards that are randomly chosen by any means. These are mathematically derived cards that are going to tell you and tell me as your reader, because I could just look them up really quickly while I'm talking to you, what is going on. And it helps to kind of pinpoint what's really going on a deeper level. And it also points out opportunities, like you know, you might see a really good money card, for example, but that's not going to cause money to happen in your life if you have chosen an occupation that has no upside potential. No, if you're like, say, on a fixed income, or if your life situation is such that there really is no possibility for more money to show up, this influence will pass you by and nothing really will happen. And yet, if you saw an influence like that and you decided to invest yourself into it by creating some avenues for finances and prosperity to come to you, you could dramatically increase your worth and your wealth, let's say. So I look at these influences when anyone calls. First card I usually look at is what we call the long-range card. It's like the headline card of the whole year for each person. And everybody's got a different one each year. I will look there first because often that is pinpointing me to what's really going on in your life. It's funny, sometimes people will call in and ask about one thing, and yet I see that another issue altogether is really prominent, and I will speak to that issue because the cards, they know what's going on. So, having said all that, today is January the 26th, and today is a special day, every day is. We are in Aquarian territory now. Birthdays that started 4 or 5 days ago, we started in the sun's in the sign of Aquarius. I think there's some other Aquarian planets too. Let me just pop up my astrology chart real quick. There's actually, this past week, we had a really nice conjunction of Sun, I believe it was Sun, Mercury, and Jupiter. Let me just confirm that. It was actually Sun, Jupiter, and something else. I thought it was Mercury. Oh, I think it was Mercury, actually, but Mercury has gone direct since then. Let me just back up a few days here and see. There was a really nice conjunction of planets. Yes, it was Sun, Mercury, and Jupiter all conjunct, which created a unique opportunity for businesses, and I've actually told a few people who are in business to take advantage of this opportunity. So we still have the Sun and Jupiter in Aquarius. Mercury has gone retrograde back into Capricorn. But still, Sun and Jupiter, really great planets to have in Aquarius. Aquarius is all about the brotherhood of man. I liken Aquarians to people. They're like, as people, they're like birds in a sense that birds like to hang out in little groups and flocks. And Aquarians are like that. Every Aquarian is seeking their family. They want to hang around their soul family. They want to be connected to their soul family in some way. So you'll find Aquarians always, it's a card of friendship. A sign of friendship as well. And friends are always very important. They don't like to get particularly really close to individuals, but they always have associations and friends, and that's where they feel the most comfortable. Now, people born today are a combination of the Ace of Diamonds card, which is a birth card for those born today, and the ruling card is a Seven of Clubs. And this Seven of Clubs can account for a unique gift related to the mind. And the Ace of Diamonds is like pure, passion, ambition. It's pure ambition. So anyone born today is very ambitious. But they have a strong spiritual side to them too, and they especially are really connected to spiritual knowledge. And I got a long list of people born today. We have Ellen DeGeneres is born today. Hockey star Wayne Gretzky, and he's like the man's man. I mean, he won Man of the Year, I think, award 7 years in a row or something. Amazing. Paul Newman, who's now passed away, was born today. Gene Siskel was born today. Director Roger Vadim was born. Eddie Van Halen was born today. Lucinda Williams, musician, was born today. And General Douglas MacArthur. So you can bet that anybody born today is super ambitious and have a strong, kind of a really gifted mind and spiritually oriented mind as well. I've actually had a strong relationship with a woman born on this day, she would be the mother of my first son. Okay, moving right along. Our topic tonight is about our life stories. When you think about it, when you look at our life, you could say that our life is, from one point of view, a story-based life. Our existence is story-based. We each have a story. What's our life? What's it about? So I'm going to ask a lot of questions first and during this talk, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more. But first of all, think about it for a minute. What is your story? Like, I was thinking about this. We just came back from being on vacation. I woke up this morning in Isla Mirada, Florida, which is in the Florida Keys. Woke up there early this morning to fly back, and we just got back about an hour and a half ago. But I was thinking a lot about this while we were on vacation, about how I have this story of my life that I tell myself. It's in my head. And, you know, I can see how much I derive my sense of who I am from what my life has been. And I have this sort of feeling about my life in a broad sense, in a broad basis, not on my what current life situation is, but just my life as a whole. So I ask you the question, what is your story? What's your story? Like, what is it really? Think about it for a minute. Who are you? And if you were to sit down and tell me your life story, how long would that take to tell the story? Think about, just imagine this for a moment. How long do you think it would take to tell your story? Would it take an hour? Would it take 20 minutes? Would it take half a day? What would be the general tenor of your story? Would it be an optimistic, happy story? Or would it be somewhat melancholy or sad? Would it be a story that includes memories of success, recognition by the people, good deeds you've done, people you have loved and who've loved you? Or would your story be memories of difficult times, things you regret, mistakes, bad choices, and problems upon problems? And, you know, or maybe it's a combination of the two. Now, and as if you were telling your life story right now to me or someone else, what feelings do you think would come out? What emotions would come up for you telling your own story? Like, so when you think about your life and your story, do you feel like happy, optimistic, sad, melancholy? Like, do you feel like some people, they seem to be like they resign themselves in life? They feel resignated. Other people are constantly optimistic and looking to the future, which we'll talk about also in a minute. And if you think about your own story for a minute, ask yourself, what parts of your story, your life story, would you take the most identity from? When you look back over your past, what is it that defines the essential you? What's at the core of you? If you were to define yourself, what's at the core? Like, what is it that really drives you to go on, to move forward in life? You know, I was thinking about my own life, and it was a life that started out very difficult in some senses. Father being an alcoholic, 7 children in the family, parents fighting a lot, you know, not enough food, we were poor, you know, these kind of things. And like I've always seen myself through my own story as being this person who overcame all these obstacles and made a success of himself. So think about that. Like, what would be your assessment of yourself when you think about your story? And like, what is this essential you? Who is this essential you that you think you are? The next thing would be like, okay, now where is your story leading you? Is there a happy ending somewhere in your future? Or are you resigned? Is there no happy ending? Is there any kind of future that you are the things you're looking forward to, goals, achievements, things you're going to buy or get or do. Okay? Just think about all these things. You don't need to answer any of this right now. Just kind of be hanging out with it a little bit. Now, when we meet somebody new, we exchange stories. You know, our stories really define us. You think about it, you know. We meet somebody. Let's say I just met you for the first time. I would give you my stories, and you would give me your stories. And we would basically share with each other pieces of our stories, of our life, that we would hope that by telling them that the other person, that they will better know us or understand us. If you only knew what I have gone through to get here, or if you'd only been where I have been, we'd kind of hope that the other person might be able to understand us. And we use our stories to share that. But what we don't realize in this process of sharing our stories is that we often separate ourselves from everybody else in the process of telling stories. You know, like even when you say, you know, if you had walked a mile in my shoes, you'd know. That's basically saying you'll never know my life, and I'm better than you on some level because you cannot really ever know the life that I've led, and you've never had the experiences I've had. My experiences are better than yours. That's kind of a way of saying that, which is what we do. We do this. This is not the only thing we do, but we definitely do this. And through exchanging our stories, we sort of hope to validate our existence somehow. It's as if our stories were all that we have to explain our purpose in being here. Without them, who are we? Without them, do we even have a good reason to be here? Think about it. Without the past that you've had, and without your plans for the future, your promises to yourself or other people, or your declarations about what you will create in your future, who are you without those things? Think about that for a moment. This is what we're really getting to here. We have our gonna-be stories, the ones about our future. These are stories we tell ourselves and others about our goals, dreams, plans, and that we intend to achieve. Our fulfillment in life somehow always rests in the future. You know, it's like, someday it's all going to work out for me. Someday it's all going to turn out. Someday I'm really going to have all the things I want. Someday I'm going to really experience. And it could be all kinds of things, you know. It could be money, relationships, completion of projects, living in a certain place. I mean, I hear people, I've made it when I'm living on the beach in Florida. Something like this. So these are also part of our story, but they're not the past or the future. And we have just as many of each of those. And what it comes down to, I see, is that like the way we think and the way we feel about ourselves when we tell stories, both past and future, is really what we're about. It's not who we really are, but it's all that we have. I mean, you take away somebody's stories and you take away their identity that they derive from those stories, and what do you have? I mean, not only do we share these and have such strong identities, but we will defend these identities of ours. I mean, you know, just like, for example, what if you were like a post office employee for the last 20 years and you really, you know, you've been through it all. And you learned the system in and out. You've seen all the good and the bad of the whole system of the post office. And some young whippersnapper comes in here and starts working, and they start trying to change things. And you've got it all set up because you've already seen everything there was to see. You've already done everything there is to do. You know what the best thing is to do because you have all this experience. And they come in there with all full of fired up, wanting to change everything. And then you're fighting with them. What are you fighting with them about? You're fighting with them about your identity. Your identity is tied up in what you know, how much you know. You are so good at being this post person that now they are infringing on your identity. It's really not important, the post office work part of it. It's the identity. It's why we fight. It's why we fight with other people, is to defend who we think we are, because we don't really have anything of who we are that's really all that strong or that, you know, it's always needs defending. And we spend a lot of time like this. You know, you think about all the fighting that we do with people, any kind of upsetness that occurs in our life, we're defending our identity. And what are the kind of things that we're identifying with? Well, think about it. Are you your level of education? Like, does your degree or lack of a degree contribute to your identity? Like, you know, I have an identity. Some people are really proud of their degree in school, and other people like me will have this ego that says, hey, I'm so proud because I was successful without going to school. Same thing, just two different ways of looking at it. Are you your income level? Are you the income level of your parents? You know, did you come from poverty parents? Is that part of your identity? Or rich parents? Or their parents? Are you your own health history? Is that your identity? Are you a series of health problems? Or are you a super ego that's all puffed up because you don't have any health problems? Are you the accomplishments that you have done in your life? You know, maybe you did something really great 20 years ago. Is that who you are still? And is that who you are? Do you, like, take such pride in that? And if somebody questioned that, would you get defensive? Are you the beliefs that you hold about politics? I mean, you know, there were some pretty heated discussions during the presidential race, not among the candidates as much as among the people that are followers of the candidates. How about religion? Are you your beliefs about religion and God? I mean, how many wars have been fought over God? How many people have been killed over God? Are you your job or the work you do? I just talked about that in the beginning. Are you your family history, or are you your family? Are you part of some family? And this is like where your identity is tied up. Are you your ideas? Now, clubs, you gotta fess up. All you clubs are really identified with your ideas. If somebody questions your ideas, you get defensive. Now, there may be some exceptions, but as a general rule. And this would apply to anybody who's got Mercury conjunct their sun, which a lot of people have in their chart, Mercury conjunct the sun, because it's common. Are you your marriage? You know, are you your relationship? Does who you are with contribute to your sense of who you are? Like, you know, being married to such and such a person, does that reinforce your sense of identity? So this is a good, nice little checklist to go through. Like, these are things that are most common. There's probably a few I missed also, but these are some of the most common ones. These are places where we really think we are these things. And if anybody questions them or threatens them, we could become very defensive. The fastest way to see what you're identified with is to watch how often you defend yourself. And that also can be when you're being aggressive towards others. Like, oftentimes people can't admit, a lot of us can't admit that we're afraid, but we can admit that we get angry. What we don't know is that anger is all fear. It's fear that's put into action. It's the same as being defensive or afraid. If I'm angry, I'm defensive. Okay? If I get upset when someone else says or does things, I have to look at what am I defending? What's really being threatened? Is it the situation or is it my identity that's being threatened? And the ones that get us the most are the things that we're identified with, where our identity is. I mean, the things that will upset us the very, very most will be the things that we have the strongest identity with. You know, it's like we really believe that these things are us to such an extent that we will even kill people because we feel, we don't think it, but we respond as if our very life is being threatened. And we lash out and hurt other people, and we realize after the fact oh my God, look what I did. And, you know, people will say, they'll come back to you and say, I'm really sorry about what I did. But the fact is they can do it right over again. All they need is the right stimulus, something to threaten their identity. And the pain body emerges and the deeds are done. I mean, is your belief or opinion, is that really all that you are? You know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what is it that we're defending? You know, what are we really fighting about? From an external level, they seem very, very trivial. They seem very trivial. And yet, you could say, you know, oh, look, two guys were in a bar and one of them killed the other one. And it started out with just a little conversation where one felt disrespected or something. You know, so you can say that the more we fight with other people, the weaker we are. You know, we tend to associate, you know, fighting, being a fighter with being strong, but that's actually a sign of weakness. Being defensive, being angry at other people, blaming, this is all a sign of weakness, not of strength. True strength is not affected by those things. But no one's ever going to not, we can't, you know, none of us here are going to be able to not do bad things to other people as long as we have these identities. You have no choice. If you think you are your history and somebody threatens your history or threatens your story about yourself, you're going to defend. You won't be able to help yourself unless you can find a deeper sense of who you are. Unless you can disassociate yourself from your story. This is what we're talking about. And that's the only thing that all of us can do. Can we rise above our story-based consciousness, which is identity? I mean, but, you know, if you don't have anything stronger to identify with, how can you ever fight? How can you ever not be weak? How can you never not be afraid? You know, we were in the airports, a couple of airports today, and you look around, and that's a great place to look at people. There's like, you know, thousands of people in a big airport. And when you look at all these people and realize that every single one of them is thinking they are their story, and that if there was enough pressure put on any number of people in a situation like an airport, there could be wide-scale pandemonium within a very short period of time. I mean, people can erupt really quickly because they're already under a lot of pressure. All of us are already under a lot of pressure. We already feel threatened. We already feel like, even if you think you're strong and you don't have any of these feelings, I guarantee you, you do. Because you cannot be identified with your story and not feel threatened. Because if I think I am my story, I don't have much to stand on. That's not much. That's not. It's something that can be, if I was really identified with my past, I would really have a hard time because every time I get together with my sisters and my brothers, nobody remembers each other's stories from the childhood. And they would swear up and down that these things never happened. Things that I remember didn't happen, and I would say the things they don't. If I was really strongly identified with that, if I derived my sense of who I was from some of those stories, I would be so angry at my family, I wouldn't be able to even be with them. That's just a small example. So how can we rise above our story-based life? Well, you know, there's a lot to that, of course, and I can't lead you through something right this moment. It's something you have to work on. You have to become aware. You know, we have to become aware of how much we are story based. You know, what is your story? Do you have one of these repeating stories? Have you ever met somebody whose story is just the same every time you meet them? It's like there's different content each week, maybe, but it's basically the same story being replayed over and over again. Maybe your story's like that. Has anybody ever told you that? But being aware of how we're constantly in the past and constantly in the future, that's the place to start, you know, catching yourself. Wow, look at, there I go, off into the future. You know, I was driving this morning and we got caught in some heavy traffic trying to get to the Miami International Airport. And I'm generally, here I am, like, giving my story. In my past, I've always been fairly impatient, especially driving. And so I was up against a real challenging, what would normally be a really challenging situation. And I sat there and I just watched and I said, you know, I looked at myself. I looked at how my mind would race off into the future and start thinking about things that I'm going to have fun doing once I get home. Like, I just didn't want to be there in that car at that time. So my solution was, you know, my instinct or my natural reaction was to escape from that moment of being stuck in traffic into some happy potential future where I'd be doing something that I enjoy doing. Simple as that. I mean, it could be sexual fantasies or just other ideas about things I'd rather be doing or I can't wait for it. Look forward to doing when I get home, this, that, and the other. But all of it was just meant because I didn't want to be there in that car, in that moment. I caught myself 4, 5, 6 times in a row sitting there, and I would just catch myself. Oh, there I go. And that's where it starts, just being aware, watching how we escape. Also watching how we go into our past, you know, how easy a situation that comes up in our life will cause us to run an old tape from the past, complete with all the sad feelings or unhappy feelings or negative feelings that came with it. It's almost like it just kicked us off into that, and now we're back in our past, reliving something and having all these negative feelings. And it's very interesting to realize how much your feelings, your emotions, just follow your mental images. You know, our most of our emotional content in our life is just based on what we're throwing up there on the screen of our mind. Our body reacts as if it's true. Our body reacts as if we're going through it again. And our emotions go along with the whole thing. So having awareness about your story. Now, when you guys call in tonight, I'm sure that each of you is going to have a story about your life. Okay? I want you to think about that some. Just be aware. This is your story. But is it really who you are? And is that the best story you can come up with? Does it have to be this story, this repeating story? Is there a pattern there? What's going on? Do I even have a choice? Do you even have a choice about it? You know, the cards are very interesting because, in a way, the yearly spreads in our readings basically tell the story of the year, and yet it's a story that has the potential for very many happy, good things to come about. So every card has a positive side. So in essence, every year on your birthday, you're handed a new script and an opportunity to make that into a really positive story as opposed to a negative story. Every card has a high side. There's no such thing as a bad card in any position. There may be some that are considered more difficult to bring to a positive place. But with the right attitude, every card, every single card in your year has the potential to bring a deep sense of happiness and fulfillment to you. So that's what we'll be looking at things this evening as we're talking on the calls. We are going to take our first break now and play a song from my CD, Bhakti Rock. Let me get it up here. I want to get the song called, I think it's called Journey. Here I am not even knowing the name of my own songs. Yeah, it's called Journey. It's an instrumental song. Just music, sort of upbeat with some nice guitar riffs and so forth. Hope you enjoy it. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls. All the lines are open, so feel free to call now. And we'll be back in about 5 to 7 minutes. We'll be right back. See you then. Welcome back, everybody. That was Journey from my CD, Bhakti Rock. If you'd like to get a copy, go to 7thunders.com, the number 7 and the word thunders. Also, if you'd like to know what your card is, and if you just want to go check it out and get a free reading, go to 7thunders.com and click on the free destiny reading at the top, and you can find out more about yourself and get some information. Our first caller tonight is a client and friend of mine named Deanna from Atlanta. Her birthday is February the 15th, 1970. Are you there, Deanna?
Hey, Robert, how are you?
I'm well. How's it
can
going?
Can you hear
Deanna?
Me?
I'm yes, I can.
I listened to your show, and it was so on key. And I guess what my question is really dealing with the relationship pattern, the Ten of Diamonds and the Three of Clubs, I've been dealing with for years, because I'll be 39 on February 15th. So is that a point where it's, okay, I don't want to do it anymore with the issues that I go through with the relationship? And how do you know if you've already went through that karmic one? Because I know that Ten of Diamonds are known to have a karmic relationship. But if you do you keep repeating that if you don't heal from that major karmic relationship? You kind of know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, you know, I would answer that by saying that, okay, first of all, it's going to be different for every Ten of Diamonds person. It's
okay.
Really not, you know, what you're referring to, I just want to let my listening audience know, is that in my book it says that Ten of Diamonds will go through one sort of destined breakup. It's really big. And, you know, like a big, kind of unusually large, traumatic or difficult divorce or something along these lines. Okay?
Right.
Are you there?
Yes.
I'm getting some kind of beeping noise. I don't know what that is all about. Anyway, so first of all, it's going to be whatever it is for you based on what your issues are in life. And you're not just a Ten of Diamonds, by the way. You're also a Three of Clubs. Okay?
Right.
So Ten of Diamonds doesn't have nearly as much relationship karma as the Three of Clubs.
Okay. Because the pattern is being left is the pattern of somehow creating that of no matter 3 years, 4 years, 2 years, or whatever, but ending up being left and feeling like that unworthiness feeling. So that's where my pattern is, where I keep creating, and that kind of embodying that spirit of distrust.
So I think that's really great that you pinpointed that thing, and I would suggest that you explore your whole story about unworthiness.
Mm.
You know, when did that start? Like, when did somebody leave you or make you feel as though you weren't worth it? You were unworthy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? When did that start for you?
Right.
Like, how old were
right.
you?
Right, so that doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. That could just be a parent, right? That could...
Well, no, it usually starts with a parent.
Right.
Yeah. It usually starts early on in life with a parent. But see, our romantic relationships are almost always... I mean, there are some exceptions, don't get me wrong, but
right.
in most
right.
cases, we end up in relationships with somebody who's like one of our parents.
Right.
We can't help it. I mean...
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and it's so...
because we need that, we're attracted to them on a deep level. We're attracted to them on an unconscious way that we really want to sort of resolve the inner conflicts we have. And so we pick this person who's like the perfect mirror for us, you know, to work that out with. So,
you keep picking them.
Yeah, and if you don't learn it, you'll just keep picking them. I mean, yeah.
Keep picking them.
Yeah, I mean, and they'll pick you, and you'll feel like at first you'll feel like, oh, they're picking me. I'm not picking them. But the truth is, we pick our relationships. We handpick them. You know.
So how do you get off that train? Because I know I'm
well,
your
you
material,
have to first.
Kind of like,
you have to get in. You have to first get in touch with yourself on a deeper level. You got to really know yourself more. Like,
right.
how do you really feel about yourself? Do you really feel like you're worthy of love or not? And you got to be honest about it. You know, you can bullshit people, but you should never bullshit yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
At least be honest with yourself about how you really feel inside. If you want to make any progress, you have to. You have to, like, get down the... Because you got to get to the bottom of the barrel. What is really going on, you know? What's
yeah.
the deal
and
here?
I guess you look at how you're treating yourself or what's showing up in your life daily or what are you doing
well,
for yourself or you're
I
not
would
doing
say
it.
A good place... a good place to start would just be to, like, get to know what you're afraid of. That's a good place to start. Like, what really upsets you? What really scares you in life, you know? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, like, in a relationship. You know, somebody leaves me again, for example.
That's the worst. And I don't know why. Yeah, that's, 'cause I'm very independent, but that is the worst.
I think that you're also a leaver yourself. You leave people too, don't you?
Yeah, I have it maybe once or twice. Maybe once or twice I have. But I think it's been stronger with me wanting to recreate that. I'm the victim, you're the one, you know, you're the predator, you made me feel like the victim, you left me, you know, so that usually wins out in the majority. Or if I'm the one who's leaving, I can always justify it's because of this, this, and this. So,
well, you know, the Ten of Diamonds, it's the main issue for most Ten of Diamonds people is that they have trouble receiving. And I've told you this before, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And that applies not just to money, but other things as well, you know.
That's something I've been working on. I really have. I have a best friend that's in my life now that's a Ten of Diamonds, eight of spades, and he embodies that receiving. So I think he showed up kind of some of that. So I know that I'm a giver. I you know, and it's kind of like I watch myself even when someone say, hey, you want a cup? And I'll take it just to, you know. And feel what I'm feeling inside of, okay, why would you take it? Why didn't you want it? And I kind of question myself and try to work through it. So people think it's crazy, but it is not easy to receive all the time.
It's very easy, actually. It's a lot easier than it is than you think.
Yeah, it really is. That's what it is.
It's not easy for you, though. I'm just saying that's because that's part of the Ten of Diamonds. That's what they're here to work on, okay?
And it's it was a point of my life where I did, up to about 23 or 24, where, I mean, just no issue with that. Just, that was, you know, that was just, but it's kind of like I think through life you change and you embody different things or different, you know, lessons and things like that, and I went on the opposite side. And so now I go for trying to get back to that point in my life where I did openly receive, or it wasn't, I never thought it was an issue. It was just something I just expected.
Sense I get is from you is that there's a sense of there's this deserving thing that you have to get clear about. Like, there's some part of you, I think, just from what I've heard, that doesn't feel like you deserve.
Yeah. That goes back to the unworthy issue.
It's a worthiness thing. That's the sense I get. And I could be wrong, I said.
You're pretty much right.
It's just something that I pick up on, and then I just want to share with you, and then you can just take it and run with it, you know, whatever you get from that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to get into knowing yourself, because I may be unconscious, but if on an unconscious level, if I don't think I deserve to have whatever, then of course every time it shows up, I'm going to sabotage it. You know?
Right.
That's what we do. We sabotage really good things happening in our life, and it's not conscious. You understand? It's not like you're sitting down and dreaming this up and going, "Oh, well, I'm going to ruin this one."
Right. Exactly.
We're not thinking these thoughts, but we're doing it just the same. And so it's making what's unconscious conscious. So the more you can get to know yourself and know how you really feel about yourself. You know, I had two abusive relationships in a row before I realized that I must be really hard on myself for some reason. Like, I started to realize, oh, maybe I'm the one who's abusive to me on some level. You follow me? It took two relationships in a row for me to kind of go, hey, maybe I don't feel so great about myself, you see? And anybody who's in an abusive relationship, you have to ask yourself the question at some point, you know, do you love yourself or not? You know,
and
what part of you
always,
feels like,
And with me, I act like it's always such a surprise, like in a relationship, then find out this person is cheating. I'm like, what? Because, I mean, you know, I've been on this journey for about 9 years almost. We're just really just trying to, and then when someone comes into your life and you find out you really haven't moved as far as you thought you did because, you know, you wouldn't have attracted maybe this person into your life, it's kind of like, you know, which I don't stay with them now, don't get me wrong, but it's still.
Well, yeah, our relationships are kind of good mirrors of where we are, so that's really great. You know, it's great that you have that consciousness.
Okay, but yeah, but thank you, because, yeah, you know, I do need to find out why, get to the root of this unworthiness. I mean, it's been there for a while, so it's kind of like, I think you were dead on. You can tell other people other things, but if you're not being honest with yourself, does it matter? No, because I'm the only one that has to get me okay, so.
You know, we can fool other people, you know, and we can fool ourselves, too. You know, we can, like, pretend like everything is. But, you know, only you know yourself inside and out, like what you really feel. Like only I know myself and whether I'm really happy with my life or not. And that's the question we all have to be willing to ask. You have to take a look and say, well, am I really happy?
Are you really?
Yeah. Or am I just faking it, you know, or what?
Yeah.
So, I appreciate your sharing. Appreciate your sharing, Dana.
Okay.
You've been very open, and it's great hearing from you. And, you know, check in with us again after your birthday and have a happy birthday.
Okay, thank you.
That's a great question, you know, and you'll find that behind your story, there will be stories in your life that have sort of laid the groundwork for the story that you're living in now, and it's really a good idea to take a look at those and ask yourself, well, what's really going on here? What's really happening in this story life of mine? Okay, our next caller is from Oregon. Excuse me. Oregon. Her name is Karen. Her birthday is November the 5th, 1949. Are you there, Karen?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for being so patient.
Well, I recently met a new friend. About 2 months ago, his birthday is August 28th, 1948, and we're fairly compatible, but I was just wondering what you see in the two charts. Any problems or?
Okay, so you're a two of diamonds and also a six of diamonds. He's a jack of hearts and nine of clubs, right?
Right.
So you have this karmic connection between your six of diamonds and his nine of clubs. And nine of clubs and six of diamonds often end up together. Are you aware of that special combination? You ever read about that anywhere?
No.
I've written about it a few times in my books.
Okay.
There are certain birthdays and certain cards, I should say, that end up together way a lot more often than, you know, chance would have it. And one of them is nine of clubs and six of diamonds. They're karma cards, and they end up in relationships to get together for karmic things. Now, you are his Pluto card, and you're also his Neptune card. Are you aware of this?
Yes.
So what do you think that means, that you're his Neptune card and his Pluto card?
I can't remember, because I know I've done a relationship report. But I was amazed.
Okay. Well, let me just, you know, whenever you're looking at the connections between you and somebody else, look at them each individually. I'm not looking for an answer like what are they combined together. I'm looking at just okay, what does Neptune mean, first of all? Do you know? You are his Neptune card. Do you know what that means?
No.
Well, okay, you obviously have not gotten any reports about this. Or you would know, because it's really obvious. Everybody has a Neptune card in their life spread. We all do. And when you meet somebody who's that card, they are like a fantasy for you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So basically, you are like a fantasy for him. You understand?
I'm a fantasy to him. Okay.
Yes. In other words, you're like a dream come true. for him.
Okay.
And he'll have a lot of difficulty in trying to see you for who you really are, because he keeps seeing what he wants you to be. All right?
Okay.
That makes sense? Does that make any sense so far?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a really good connection in a way, because it's very romantic and it's very, well, it's romantic. And a Neptune connection, our Neptune relationship can last the longest of any relationship. It has the potential to be very long-lasting. The only problem is that he doesn't really know who you are. He only sees what he wants to see.
Okay.
You follow me?
Uh-huh.
Now, you're also his Pluto card, so the reality of who you really are will come forth between you, and it'll be like a shock to him. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's not that you're doing anything. It's just that when the reality hits, it shocks the heck out of them. Okay?
Okay.
And Pluto can make you want somebody. You can even become addicted to somebody with a Pluto connection like this.
Okay.
Or it can just make these really intense feelings come up between you and the other person to such an extent that you wonder, like, wow, what's going on here? I just never felt so intensely. And this can be intensely good or bad, by the way. Not always good, not always bad. Okay? Just
okay.
Intense. You're a Scorpio yourself. You know what intensity is all about. Okay?
Yes.
You know that from the inside out. Well, you cause his life to be really, really intense. Okay?
Okay.
That's basically it. I think that he's affected a lot more by the relationship than you are.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So that's anything I can tell you about you two.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, is it, you were saying that I'm really intense, and should I just lighten up a bit, or is that possible?
Well, you're always intense, and you have deep fears of abandonment, which cause you to be super controlling.
Yeah.
Are you aware of all that?
Yes.
Well, what do you do with all that? I mean, you know you got it, what do you do with it? How do you deal with a relationship? How do you deal with all that when you go into a new relationship, knowing that you carry all that into a relationship? What do you do with all that?
Well, it's a big fear.
Yeah, well, what do you do with that fear?
I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of things you could do with it. For example, you could be open and honest about it, number one, right up front with somebody. Yeah, I have tremendous fears of abandonment. And by the way, when I get afraid, I want to control the universe because I'm a Scorpio. You can be really open about it, right?
Okay, yeah.
You ever tried that?
Well, that's one thing I've noticed about this relationship is that it's very open and honest. And, you know, if there's something on bothering both of us, we just get it right out there on the table and talk about it. It's great.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I mean, this guy is a jack of hearts. He's a savior to the world, but he's also got a strong romantic sexual side. You know, if he's still sexually active, it would be a big part of his life, you know.
Okay.
And every nine of clubs is searching for their Neptune person, and you're it, okay?
Okay.
So he sees the potential for you to be exactly what he's looking for. I'm sure of that.
Okay.
But there will be things you do that really, really upset him. And it won't even be because you meant to. If that makes any sense. I don't know if I can explain that any better. But in other words, it's not personal. It's not something you're doing intentionally to. But it will still upset him because you're Pluto to him. You're like dynamite going off in his life. Okay? And it's not you doing that. It's just the way your energies interact together.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he may like it, and it may be too much for him sometimes.
Okay.
Okay.
Alrighty.
So, I mean, you got no problems. I don't see any problems.
Okay.
How long have you guys been dating?
Just since November, the 1st of November.
All right, well, just keep having fun.
Well, we are.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. You got good things happening this year, and you should be always enjoy what's there to be enjoyed, you know? Look for the good that's happening and take advantage of it. That's always my advice.
Okay.
You know, say, wow, this is really great. Whatever's really good about it, be grateful for that and let that magnify with your gratitude.
Okay.
Like always, you know, a relationship is like, and I've never really said this before, but I practice this. A relationship's like a bank, an investment that we put our energy into. And the investment that we put in a relationship is our gratitude for the other person. We just keep giving our gratitude, it just keeps getting better and better. That's how it generally works. Anyway, I appreciate you calling.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Have a nice
okay.
night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller is Susan from Paradise. And her birthday is September the 28th, 1951. Are you there, Susan?
I am here.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Did you know that the radio station that you're talking on right now is actually located in Paradise?
I knew that because it had the area code where I'm at. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's why you said, we love you already.
Yes, that's right.
It's all done.
And is this the same guy that's the King of Hearts guy that you were talking about one time before?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just loves everybody then.
Yeah, Don and his twin brother, Ron? I feel so bad. Ron, I think, yeah.
Ron and
I've
Don.
I've never got to meet them. I've only seen their pictures on the internet a couple times. But I love those guys, and they're fantastic people. And they're so gracious to everybody who calls in. So it's
isn't that
wonderful.
Nice? I know they've always.
So been you're gracious. You're a nine of hearts. So what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I have so many questions, and I know that I can't take all your time to get through it all, but I'd like to touch on a couple things. First, a real quick question: Five of Hearts, the divorce card. Typically, from what I understand in your books, it indicates a divorce. If it's in Venus or the long-range card, is that correct?
Well, let me ask you a question,
okay?
What if you are married? I mean, what if you're single and you get a Five of Hearts? Then what does it mean?
Well, that was my question. What does that mean?
You can't get divorced if you're not married. How can you get divorced?
That's right. So what would it mean in those instances?
It could mean you getting married.
Oh, okay.
Because Five of Hearts really only means a change.
Uh-huh.
In your relationship status.
In relationship.
In relationship status.
Okay, what if it's in Uranus? I'm thinking about a couple that I know that are not married, but they've been together many years. And he's got this Five of Hearts coming up in Uranus. And
well, it could just mean they're going to go travel together. It, you know, it has a lot of... You have to know something about the person you're reading for. You can't make a blanket prediction. You can't make a blanket prediction without knowing, like, okay, are they happy together? Are they, you know, talking about getting divorced? What's this, you know, this current status? You have to know some of that stuff before you can really make a prediction.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to make a prediction. I was just kind of wondering because Uranus is the freedom planet, is it not? All about freedom?
It is, but Uranus in the card system has several different areas that it covers. It could be real estate, for example. That's a classic card for moving from one house to the other.
Mm-hmm.
In the card system. You know,
okay.
It's a card of the move. So,
okay. I just happen to know that this particular couple don't do very many things together. They pretty much go their own ways, you know, in their life. And so I just, you know, I just saw that, and I was just wondering, that's all.
Well,
so it could
mean unless you have some other, unless you have some other evidence to support the theory, there's nothing to indicate they would get divorced.
I see. Okay.
You don't have enough information to make that kind of call on the situation.
Right. Okay. That's right. I don't.
Unless you know something you haven't said, you know.
Not really.
Okay.
I'm just wondering about it.
Okay. No problem.
Also, you made a statement on this program tonight that all the cards, no matter what position they're in, you know, would have a high side.
Yes.
What about an Ace of Spades and Saturn? What is the high side on that?
The high side is a complete new beginning for somebody.
Okay.
You know, but they get to start their life over again in a huge way.
Let me tell you, my son is leaving to go into the military tomorrow.
Who is?
My son.
Your son is leaving to go into the military. Okay.
Tomorrow to go to, they're flying him to basic training. And next year he has an Ace of Spades in Saturn, and it's just got me really kind of upset, you know.
Is it his direct card in Saturn? Is it the top card?
Yes, it's the top card.
What's your son's birthday?
It is June 28th. He's a two of clubs, and he's 19 this year.
What year was he born?
89.
My first son was born that same year, actually, June 10th, 1989.
Mm.
Okay, your son does not have an Ace of Spades in Saturn next year.
Wait a minute. Let me look at this. Maybe it's this year.
He has a Nine of Spades in Saturn.
Oh, Nine of Spades. Okay, maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
All right, what would be the high side of the Nine of Spades?
Well, it can mean lots of things. There's a Three of Diamonds with it there, which could be something around, it could be a financial, something going on with him financially that you don't even know about, that hasn't even developed yet. You know, it's really way too early to tell.
Okay.
You know, the real thing for him is with this decision to go into the services, why? You know, why did he do that? You know, what's his intention behind joining and going off to war? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't planning on going off to war. He was hoping, you know, to do something different in the military, and hopefully he will. Basically, you know, it's for financial reasons to earn the money to get the GI Bill and go to college when he gets done, and to give him something to do right now. He's not employed, and
is he actually going off to war? Is that what he's doing?
Well, we don't know that. Nobody knows that for sure. He's hoping that he's not going to have to.
But there's a chance that he might.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So it's other people like him have done, they have had to go off and fight.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, he basically has already made the decision.
Yes, he has.
It's basically already a done deal.
It is.
I don't think this card would necessarily represent that. I wouldn't be too concerned about it, but you'll be concerned anyway because you're a mother. Can't help it.
Right.
You know, that's your job.
Yes, that's my job.
That's the mother's job, is to worry about her children.
Yes, that's right.
So,
and so that's, you know, that's kind of got me a little bit bothered there.
Yeah.
As you could well imagine, and I appreciate your understanding of that.
Yeah, sure.
So then that leads me on to a couple other things. He's my last child leaving home. I have five children. I'm a five of diamonds. And I am going to be like major empty nest. And it's so frightening for me because this has been my life for the last 39 years. I, you know, got married when I was 17 and had my first child when I was 18. And
so what's the scariest part about it? I'm just curious.
I feel lost. Totally, completely lost. Like, what am I going to do now?
Okay. You're losing your identity.
Yes, and that's what you were talking. What is my identity? It's being a mom. That's it.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to come up with another one pretty quick.
I know, and it's hard because I'm so sick of being a five of diamonds because I can't keep a job. I don't know about careers. I don't, you know, it's just like, and at my age, you know, it's like, what do I do now? And, it's really scary, and I just don't know what to do. I feel completely lost.
Well, you know, that's a good thing that you recognize that you don't have to come up with anything right away. By the way, are you married, single?
No.
What are you?
No, I'm single. I've been single forever.
Do you have a man in your life?
Pardon?
Do you have a man, a lover, or a man in your life?
No. And I don't understand that either because I can't.
Is it because you weigh 300 pounds?
No, I'm a few pounds, a little bit chubby, but, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. And I'm quite attractive. And I'm nice, and, you know, and I'm vivacious.
Okay, well, listen.
But I don't get any dates.
You've got two King of Hearts this year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And King of Hearts in a woman's spread is the perfect lover.
That's what I read. I got very excited about that. And then
all you have to do is take some action on this, Susan.
That's what my daughter's telling me.
It's not going to happen if you just sit home and think about it. It's not going to happen by itself. It's going to require some cooperation on your part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what's
being called upon for you. You're a heart anyway. You're a nine of hearts. That's your
mm-hmm.
primary card.
Yes.
You know, and love is what gets you started.
Yeah.
In all things in life. You understand?
Well, I understand that, but the love that I've had in my life has primarily been directed towards my children and grandchildren. So
I know that's true, but this is not all of your life. This is the rest of your life we're talking about.
This is the rest of your life. Okay, so
that part of your life is all done now.
It is.
It's time for you to go back and explore what relationships have. I think I get the feeling you have a lot of lessons that you have put on hold in the name of your children. A lot of learning that's going to happen in you. Good things, you know.
Learning about relationships and how to live in them and have them.
How to have a successful, happy, you know, fulfilling, loving, joyous love relationship. Yes.
That would certainly be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, okay, well, that's your project for the year, so get on it.
Okay. So now you mentioned. I'm sorry?
That's real easy. It's real easy to say that. And but you got to make this happen. This is what you can make happen. You got to do it now, though. You got to wait. You can't wait too much longer here, okay?
I know, I've got the King of Hearts this year, and next year I've got the Queen of Hearts in long range. So I'm going, I'll meet somebody this year and get married next year.
Well, start getting yourself on some dating websites. Get going here. Get the word out that you're looking and available.
Okay. All right.
Because it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while anyway to sort through the different people that show up. And it's not going to happen instantly, but you need to get going, or it's never going to happen.
You know, I'm very well aware of that, and I hear this all the time. You know, people talk about their relationships, or, you know, what's going on in their relationships and how many relationships they've had, and I'm going, how do these people have all these relationships? I never have relationships. This is not even fair. So, anyway.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I know that I have to start putting one foot in front of the other and, you know, make it happen. I know that I have to do that. And
yeah,
so now
good.
That my son is leaving, you know, I feel
freer.
Yeah,
you have no reason to put it off anymore.
Right. Okay, so when you were talking to the last girl, you were talking about that we get attracted to people who are like one of our parents.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know if we could, how to get past that, because my ex-husband was very much like my father. He ignored me completely, criticized me, you know, stuff like that. And the one man that I've been crazy about the last few years who, like, is not in my life, but I see him, and he's very much like my father, too. It's just, he's a 7 of clubs guy, and he just, you know, one time it's come here, you know, and then the next time it's go away. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. And keeps me, you know, unbalanced and all that. And how can I get past that, not letting myself get attracted to somebody who's like my dad? That is crazy.
Well, you can't help it. You're going to keep attracting your dad until you look inside yourself to see what it is about your dad that needs to get resolved in you. You can't help it but attract your dad. We all can't help but attract our parents until we get those things. We take a look inside and see what's really going on here with me. Okay?
Hmm.
How does this tell, what does this tell me about how I feel about myself?
So when I identify that thing that's within me because it was in my dad.
You have to, okay, you know, you have to go in and look and say, you know, here you are, this little child, and you never got enough attention from your father.
Mm-hmm.
And you came out of your childhood with some beliefs about yourself as a result.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, I'm not lovable, or there's something wrong with me, or whatever, okay? I don't deserve love, or whatever it is. You got to look at that. That's why you keep attracting.
Not heard or something.
Yeah, you haven't looked at this enough.
Okay.
It's just like the first caller, Deanna. You know, she has this pattern of picking relationships that leave her.
Right.
Same thing. And the solution is the same thing for you as it is for her, and that is you have to get into knowing yourself. How do you feel about yourself as a result of whatever your story was from your past, you know? There's nothing wrong with whatever happened to you or anybody else, but we each come out of our life with this sort of like a way of seeing ourselves, and I call it the story-based version of ourselves. You know, it's a story from our childhood. But what's the real thing underneath it all? Who are we? Who are you? Like, what's the real essence of who you are when it comes to love? Okay?
And how do I figure that out?
Well, you have to start getting to know yourself. First start, like I told Deanna, the first caller, start out with just noticing what you're afraid of. What are your biggest fears, you know? Just be aware.
I think about that. And I would like to be able to do that, but I mentioned to you that I feel like I'm floundering because, you know, my whole life has revolved around my children. But, you know, I don't feel like I have any major fears. So it's going to be hard for me to identify what they are, but I must have them.
Yeah, then, see, you're just, I don't want to say something that's going to sound like an insult or anything like that. I don't really have any judgments about the people, but I would say that you are really out of touch with yourself.
Really?
if you don't know that you have fears, that's going to be your first step, is to find out what you're really afraid of.
Okay.
I mean, you're obviously afraid of having another unsuccessful relationship. You know, we were just talking about it.
That's true. I don't want to be in a relationship where I am ignored and criticized. So I could say that's
right.
A fear, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a place to start. But there's more to the story. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
I'm sure that there is.
You know, see, it's like we can only get so much information from books or even the cards. We can't get everything from the cards.
Mm-hmm.
We have to accompany our studies of the cards with self-study, always. It has to be self.
How do you know that?
study.
It's interesting that I've been looking at all these cards in my life path and looking at their symbolic meanings and trying to figure out how does this apply to me. I can really relate to the Pluto card very, very much, the King of Clubs.
Uh-huh.
Because that represents mastery, does it not, in many ways?
Yeah, mastery of the mind. It means overcoming the emotional through the mind for you.
Oh, through the mind, okay. Because I'm going...
Nine of Hearts people have emotional patterns that are set that they need to really undo. And the only way you can undo emotions is by getting clear through your mind.
Okay.
So,
meditation would help.
Susan, unfortunately, I mean, I'm enjoying talking to you, but I'm going to have to let you go.
Sure.
Because this is taking, you know, enough time for one call, and I have other callers and so forth.
Absolutely.
Okay? But it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I suggest that you do more self-study. It's okay. The cards are good, but a lot of the answers you're looking for are going to come from you getting to know your own feelings about stuff.
Okay. All right.
Back into your heart, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Susan. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to a song from my CD, Bhakti Rock. This song is called The Krishna Lullaby. And when we come back, we're going to take your calls, some more of your calls. I think we have one caller on line 4, but the other two lines are open if you would like to call. Okay? We'll be right back.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita Rama.
Welcome back, Ari. That was the Krishna Lullaby from my CD Bhakti Rock. By the way, it's Don, and his brother's name is Doug. I had completely spaced it out. So I apologize, Doug, for forgetting your name. And when I talk to Doug, I can't tell who I'm talking to because he and Don sound exactly alike on the phone to me. Now, probably if I knew him better, I would probably recognize his voice. But when I hear them talking, I can't tell one from the other. Okay, our next caller, and by the way, lines are open. Line 2 and 3 are open. Our next caller is calling from Venice Beach. Her name is Celeste. Her birthday is August the 14th, 1973. Are you there, Celeste?
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I am fine. Kind of. I have a 2 of diamonds in as my long-range card this year. And
yeah.
That happened to be the card of my longest girlfriend who passed away on a car accident on the 26th of December.
Oh, wow.
And we're exactly the same age. Her birthday was the 11th of August. But another really weird thing is we were all, there was a bunch of us that were good friends, and so for the funeral, I saw my other best friend, and we looked up his cards, and he also has a 2 of diamonds as his long range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really sorry to hear that happened.
That's
hard. Were you guys really close?
Yeah, 12 years of friendship. She lived far away, so we would keep in touch via email and talk on the phone. In the last year, it's been a year since I saw her. But I'm also wondering how I'm dealing with this, because I don't know that I've broken down. I've seen people around me and her mother, her ex-boyfriend, and I don't know why I seem to have this calm. I'm definitely sad, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Know enough about you to... I mean, I know you're a queen of clubs, right?
Right.
And queen of clubs are not the most touchy-feely people. Did you know that?
Really? I'm pretty touchy-feely, Rob.
Well, I mean, they're kind of, you know, they're kind of like in their head a lot.
Yes.
Because you're the queen of the suit of the head, you know. And also queen of clubs... They have a 7 of hearts as their lifetime Saturn card, which means that it's not something that anybody knows, really, but inside them is a deep fear of betrayal or abandonment.
Oh, okay. That's come out a lot.
Yeah. I mean, now you're a Leo, so it's great to be a Leo because Leo is more forthcoming. You know what I mean? With how they are. You're not going to hold it back so much. But most queen of clubs keep that secret because they have a lot of pride, you know. They don't want to appear weak or less than something special. They want to be special, you know. So it's great that you're aware of that. But maybe you just don't want to break down. I don't know.
I do. I mean, I've sat in my house and I'm thinking, okay... This was my most, I mean, we were going to grow old together at some point after all the relationships were done. And
Yeah.
But.
Well, what do you feel about her? Do you feel just, you guys weren't even seeing each other all the time. So what do you feel
about
her?
No, the last time I'd seen her was a year ago. She came out and stayed with me for 2 weeks. But there's a lot of secrets that came out after she passed, that I'm still trying to deal with, and I'm sure that happens after someone passes. You find out some things about them, but a lot of them were pretty sad stories, so I don't quite know. Like, I definitely know I knew her as a person, but the last year of her life that I wasn't so involved.
And she was a Leo queen, Leo 2 of Diamonds?
Yes.
Okay.
August 11th.
You know, 2 of Diamonds is another card that has a lot of abandonment fears, and they also have a tendency to not be honest about things.
Right. I mean,
They tend to want, they kind of like, now, you know, they're doing it to protect themselves, and they're so smart, you know, and they think that it's the best thing just to be dishonest with other people. They don't realize the price they pay for that, you know.
And I was her cohort for a while. I mean, when we were younger, I definitely was her sidekick and doing her, you know, the little mischievous things.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, so you were also probably deceived by her, you know, ultimately.
Yeah, in a weird way, I always knew it. I kind of always knew, and I just didn't mind. I played along. We had fun. But it's strange because I thought I had good cards for this year.
Well, you don't have bad cards, but you've had, like, a devastating loss, you might say, and there's always a recovery time for that, you know. It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
It will pass, though. This will definitely pass. And things, you know, things will change soon enough.
Right.
Now,
well,
do you have someone special in your life right now? Do you have a close relationship? Do you have a man? Or
I had a really, really difficult, I think my most important relationship ever ended earlier this year before my birthday. And he has been coming around in the last few weeks. And because I'm in such, like, zombie state because of what happened with my girlfriend, I told him not to put any pressure on me, but I don't even know if I should entertain it or not because he's hurt me so bad. But everything he's saying sounds like maybe I want to. Is there any way you can find out if he's me?
Do you know his birthday?
Yes, I do. We were together for a while. December 9th. He's 37 now.
So when was he born? 72? 71. Is that right?
No, 71.
71. Okay, so he's a nine of clubs, king of diamonds. So he's saying that he's changed.
he's swearing up and down more than ever that, like, he this is what he wants. He wants to be with me, and it's hard for me to listen to, and it's hard for me to fully believe him, but I want to. It's hard not to believe him when he speaks like this.
You have to understand that you being a queen of clubs, you're already prone to being hurt. Do you understand? you're prone to having that experience because you came into this lifetime with karma in that area, okay? It doesn't really matter what the real reason why, but this is the truth. The truth is that you're prone to that experience. In other words, you would even read it into an experience that it really wasn't even true in. I'm not saying that he didn't do some bad things to you, but for you, it happens so quickly, I would think. Like, there would be no pause between the event and your reaction. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, Robert.
Okay, so it's nothing wrong. This is not a bad thing. You know, this is not the worst karma in the world, okay? It may be hard for a Queen Leo to take. But it's not the end of the world. But it's something that's there for you as a personal challenge. And this is a big if, by the way, only if it ever became important enough to you that you would want to work on that part of yourself, okay? A lot of Queen of Clubs never have enough desire to change that part in themselves to actually do any work on it.
Which part?
Their emotional sensitivity, their hurt feelings, it's a past life karma. It's a past life karma.
Photographs. All my photographs look sad. They're beautiful, but they look sad.
Really? Well, I'm sorry to hear that, because I bet that's more in your interpretation. I just got a feeling that it's more in your interpretation of it than it is really true. I have to ask your friends.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have our own little feelings about ourselves, and then there's how other people see us. But, you know,
so
Queen
like,
of Clubs, and there's other cards in the deck,
like
my card, the Queen of Diamonds, and there's other cards, Queen of Clubs, and other ones that we just were really mean to other people in past lives. Okay?
Wow.
We just didn't care. It's almost like we had all this power and we didn't do well with it. We weren't really aware of how much we were affecting those around us. Okay?
Right.
So now in this lifetime, we're super sensitive.
Right.
And the point of all that is that so we become more aware of other people and how much it matters when we say or do things. See, that's the whole point of it. The whole point of this, so we really know what it's like to be on both sides of that equation. Right? But another thing I should tell you is this is not a lifetime sentence. This is something that you can work on. You're still relatively young. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to, for sure. I definitely would.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you ever had any counseling?
Yes. Just,
Did you have any success with that?
I think so. I think it's been successful. A little bit. I mean, it's kind of been put on halt. The last 2 months has just been insane. And I can't continue to use that as an excuse, but...
Well, you know... It all comes down to how we feel about ourselves. You're very fortunate that you're a Leo because it's the sign of self-love. Now, I'm not saying that every single Leo is so full of self-love because there are lots of Leos that have work to do on that department. But there's a boost there, a benefit, you might say. There's definitely more than most people have, okay?
Right.
So it's about refining your sense of loving yourself and realizing that you're not perfect, and it's okay that you're not perfect. You know, it's okay that you're human and that you're weak sometimes and that you need and you have needs. It's like that, see? It's like becoming more human. Did you ever read that story, The Velveteen Rabbit, when you were a kid?
Yes, of course.
The Velveteen Rabbit finally became real, right?
Right.
After all the eyes fell out of it and all the fuzz got loved off of it.
I really like that analogy. I really do.
Well, it's like that. You know, we have to get in there and we don't give up on love and we don't give up on life. We keep coming back into it. And we eventually learn. We'll learn more from love than anything else in our life. There's no doubt about that.
I agree.
A lot more than from books. So... Keep up.
This is another weird thing to deal with. This is a...
I think that, looking at your cards and stuff, you know, I think you should be open to love in your life right now. It's looking to come in. So
I wonder if the guy is on it, because I would almost be shutting a door to someone else if I take him back, is what's happening here.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would get a third opinion on it. I were you, you know, I mean, I don't know this guy. I know his birthday. I can see the pluses and minuses of that birthday.
He has a five of hearts right now, which I don't get.
Well, it's in Mercury. It means nothing. You know, Mercury is very short. Mercury stuff is like short stuff. It's not significant. So... You know, but you know, Leo and Sag are usually pretty good together. If you want to give them a chance, but you got to be really clear about what the boundaries are. You know.
Yeah. I'm almost excited
really
about it. Maybe
the first time anything shows up that's like the old stuff, say, "Look, I'm sorry. That's it. I'm out of here." You know.
Right.
But. I don't know what else to tell you. He's not even showing up in your cards this year, really. Doesn't
I know.
Mean anything. I got the feeling there's somebody else better for you if you just turn around and look.
Well, we'll see how I pan out. But thank you so much, Robert. The cards
okay.
have always been amazing.
All right. Wonderful talking to you, and good luck.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Okay, our next caller is Becky from Louisiana. Her birthday is February the 21st, 1951. Are you there, Becky?
Yes, sir. Hi, Robert.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just great. How are things in Louisiana? Do a little chilly down there?
Yes, sir. We're doing okay. It's not hurricane season. Last year we had two whammies, and the year before that, well, 2005, we had a big one too. So
yeah.
I'm thinking about moving to Arkansas.
Oh, good. Well, don't make any decisions until after your birthday, okay?
Yes, sir, okay.
Because you're in the Neptune period. You don't make decisions in the last period of the year. It's the wrong time to make any decisions. You always wait until after the birthday. And then things clear up. You look, you see more clearly about everything.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, I mean, whatever you want, it's all going to be different after your birthday, so wait.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm mainly concerned about my love life. Last year, it was a dud.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm just curious if it's going to improve.
Well, you know, just even if I didn't even know your cards, I can definitely tell you that you can have anything you want.
Yes, sir, I know.
Well, you do? Then why are you asking me? If you already know the answer, then why are you on the phone?
Well, you know, last year I had met this guy in August, and nothing has ever come of it. We're just friends. But he keeps asking me, he's metaphysical, and he keeps asking me to go into business with him. And I told him last night, no, it wouldn't work.
Now, why does he want to go in business with you?
I don't know.
No, I mean, going into business with you, does that mean that you put money up? Does he put money up? How's that work?
No, sir. We haven't gotten that far to talk about that.
Okay.
He's basically wanting to, we want to, you know, work together, like with the law of attraction and spiritual. He does Reiki and things like that. And so he wanted to, you know, work with me and work with people, you know, helping
well,
people.
Well, okay. So look, okay. So here's a suggestion, Becky.
Okay.
Learn to be a little bit more direct with people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example of that, right? The next time you talk to him, you say, hey, I really get it that, what's his name, by the way? What's his name?
Jesus.
What?
He's Spanish. His name is Jesus.
Jesus. Say, Jesus, I get that you want to work with me. Why do you want to work with me? Why don't you just do it on your own? You ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't that simple? Just go directly to the source and ask the question.
Okay.
You know, what is it? Why can't you just do this on your own? Why do you want to do it with me? And also, you're kind of interested in him, possibly romantically, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so why don't you like talk to him about that? Say, hey, Sus, I'm attracted to you. Are you attracted to me?
Well, that's already kind of been established. I kind of backed away because he had a girlfriend before he met me, and he's still kind of with her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you have romantic interest in him, and you're waiting for him to kind of clear up with his other thing.
Well, I'm not really waiting. I'm going about my life and doing what I need to do, you know.
Well, I can tell you one thing. It's never a good idea to get involved in a business with somebody that you're romantically attracted to.
Oh, yes, sir. I already know. I told him no because, and I told him last night, I said, you know why? And I said, it will never work. so I'm sorry. You know, I don't want to be ugly, but I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying that if you did, it would really confuse things, and it would be a loss for both of you financially.
Yes, sir, I understand that, and I know that.
Okay.
I have a lot of intuition and knowledge, and, you know.
But all that intuition doesn't help you in your own personal relationships. Trust me.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't.
Well,
it's great with other people. I'm sure you're great with other people. But when your own personal life comes in, your intuition will mislead.
That's true. Yes, sir.
Usually. So that's why you're calling me. And what is Jesus' card? What's his birthday?
It's 11/24/58.
November 24th.
Yes, sir.
So he is, who's he at, 9 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
My mind's a little bit hazy. I've had a long day. Nine of Hearts and Jack of Clubs. Yeah, well, my suggestion with you and Jesus is to give him a little time to clean up his act with his other girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And see if he comes back around. You've already made it clear that you're attracted to him, right?
Yes, sir, I've told him.
Yeah, and so he knows that you're interested, and you know that he was at least one time he was interested in you, right?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so now it's just time for him to, like, do what he's going to do.
Right.
And either do it or not, but no business. No business until he gets his personal life cleared up.
I told him that last night, Robert. I said, as much as I love you, I have to tell you, I'm very sorry, but it would never work because, you know, our power together wouldn't.
You would be one. Yeah, you'd be one to be with him. So the other thing is, you got to remember, he's a Jack of Clubs ruling card. Okay, so remember,
right.
He's a fancy talker.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he might be spiritual, he could be a lying spiritual guy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So always be aware of that potential with him.
Okay.
He's gonna be really good at telling people what they want to hear.
Right.
And, you know, if he wants something from you, then he's all the more suspect. See?
A suspect.
that's my advice. Was any of that helpful for you?
Yes, it is. It definitely.
And when are you gonna stop calling me, sir?
Oh, I always do that.
You call
okay,
your
Robert.
Boyfriend, sir?
Sometimes.
You do? Well.
I call my
like
husband, sir, sometimes, too.
You guys in Louisiana like that shit?
Well, this one's not from Louisiana, so.
Well, I'm not either.
Yeah. Okay, I apologize. I'll remember not to.
I'm just making you aware of it. You can just call me Robert. That's fine with me, okay?
So don't make any decisions till after my birthday.
Right.
And
I would say wait 2 weeks. Actually, you're going to find that right after your birthday, you're going to get really clear. Within 2 weeks of your birthday, you're going to get really clear, and you're going to be really strongly directed. And you're going to
right.
know exactly what you want to do. This is a gangbuster year for you, by the way. This is a year when you can accomplish some great things.
Great.
You don't want to waste it. You'll never have this King of Spades long range the rest of your life, I don't think.
Wow.
You don't want to waste that. That's gold as far as the cards go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
want to take full advantage of that. And you want to have a list, but I would dream about it right now, but I wouldn't even make the list until after your birthday.
Okay.
You know?
A list of things I desire?
What you want to accomplish this coming
year. Okay.
All
right.
You know, what you want to accomplish in your work. I'm telling you, the doors will fly open.
Wow.
It'll blow your mind, but you have to know what you want, and you have to be really clear about it. Like no kidding, that's exactly what you want, and you're not going to stop till you get it. If you have that attitude, you'll get everything you want.
Great.
It won't happen by being namby-pamby or waiting for it to happen.
Yes,
you have
sir.
To
well,
be
I'm,
as
I'm,
the king.
I'm
Kings do
working.
Not mess around. Kings just say, this is how it's going to be. Take it or leave it, or like it or get hit the road. That's how kings
are. I'm working on retiring. I taught school for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at another path, spiritual path, working with some
people. By the way, are you still married? You mentioned
no, sir. My husband died in 2007.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He had a heart attack.
And you
called me
sir again, by the way.
I'm sorry. We were married 8 months, and he passed away of a heart attack in 2007.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
Kind of a quickie.
Yes.
But everything happens for a reason.
Yes, I know. I desire to be married. I enjoy being married. I like that. I've been married three times.
How many?
Three.
Three? No, that's not that many. Maybe it's a lot in Louisiana. I don't know.
No.
Well, listen, Becky, it's great talking to you. I'm going to let you go.
Thank
I have time for one more call. I'm going to let her talk.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so wait a couple of weeks. Give us a call after your birthday, all right?
Okay, have a great night.
You too, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our last call of the night is Trish from Albuquerque. Her birthday is a very rare card, the Ace of Hearts. December 30th, 1951. Are you there, Trish?
Hi, Robert. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Always searching for love.
Have you found any anywhere lately?
What's that?
Did you find any lately?
Well, that's one of my questions, besides asking about a couple of other things, the karma of the Ace of Hearts, and health problems for me in this year. And when I'm going to be having an intimate relationship again.
Okay, so first of all, there's like every card has like a lifetime sort of karmic package that comes with it, you know. And there's some variety about it, but overall there's some consistencies too. And you're not just an Ace of Hearts, you're also a Three of Spades. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Do you know this?
Yeah, I did take a course in Santa Fe last year.
Okay.
And I kind of dabbled in it last year, but I haven't had a lot of time to look at my cards every day and everything.
If you're going to read about yourself, you should read not only about the Ace of Hearts, but also read about the Three of Spades as if that was your birth card, because you share the karma of both those cards. They are both part of you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And the Three of Spades is what makes people of your birthday, it makes them very romantically oriented. Okay? A Three of Spades is an artist card. It's called the artist card. Really creative. Okay?
Uh-huh.
People who are really creative have a high sex drive. And a high capacity for romance and love. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
And I've met several women of your birthday who just have a string of boyfriends.
I've had my share of relationships, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you have. So this year has just begun for you, and you have love all over your chart this year. You're going to have more love. That's not even an issue.
My life is filled with love. I have great family and friends.
I'm talking about sex.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about sex, all right? Mm-hmm. Not just... and you'll meet somebody as soon as late February or early March. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm divorced about 2.5 years, and I haven't really been in relationship for that period of time. I needed that time to just grieve and pass through feelings and stuff, and I'm about ready now to meet someone.
You're going to have a blast this year.
In that
department.
Any clues on who? Or what card?
Well, there's several cards, possibilities here, but there's no need. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be whoever shows up.
As long as it's not a Ten of Clubs again.
Well, Ten of Clubs is okay for you, but they're a little bit too independent for most people. They can't.
I was my ex-husband, so I don't really want to be with a Ten of Clubs.
Yeah, well, don't then. You have a choice in the matter. Now, as far as your health goes, just so you know, Three of Spades people, their main problem with health is they think about it too much.
Hmm. Is it physical health that they think about, or is it emotional health, or
no,
health in general?
It's physical stuff. They worry too much about it. Their mind is too involved with their health.
Hmm.
See, spades represents health and work.
I work in the health field. Maybe that's it.
Do you have any health problems?
No, I'm pretty healthy. I just have one issue coming up that I'm concerned about, but usually...
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, if your health's okay, I thought you said it was a problem. I apologize.
No, I have something coming up that I'm a little bit concerned about it, but basically I don't usually worry about my health.
Is it some kind of operation or something?
It's a possibility of a cancer somewhere, so I'm just concerned about
that. Well, I don't see anything here that represents like a huge health thing. I see a health sort of a challenge of some kind coming up in February, March, same time period.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like it's going to manifest as some real thing that I could see. So I don't see a real problem. I don't see something that's going to be something that lasts. It's like a temporary situation that seems challenging, but it turns out not to be.
Cool.
That's what
Sounds
I see.
Good.
Yeah.
You were talking earlier tonight with somebody about the karma of the cards and the Queen of Clubs and the karma, the bad karma previously. With the Ace of Hearts, because it's like the card of the child, what is the karma associated with the Ace of Clubs?
The Ace of Hearts, you mean?
Ace of Hearts, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have as big of a pile like the Queen of Clubs does. The Queen of Clubs has a fairly substantial pile of karma related to relationships. Ace of Hearts, though, can be so self-centered, so self-oriented, they can create some karma in this lifetime. You know, it has a lot of ace energy to it, because you're not just an ace of hearts, you have an ace of diamonds in Saturn, okay? I mean, in your Mercury, I'm sorry, not Saturn, in Mercury. So there's a lot of focus on yourself. So there can be issues with any ace of, like, my needs versus my partner's needs. You know, am I being a good partner, or do I need to spend more time loving myself? It's a question a lot of aces have to deal with. Do you have that issue?
I'm usually really outer directed and I love myself and I do all my own self-nurturing things that I need to do, but I'm also pretty other directed and helpful with other people. And have, you know, I do extend myself for other people. In my relationship, my ex-husband thought that I was not there enough for him. But I don't think it was because I was more there for myself. I think it was because I was more for others. And he didn't appreciate the way I could be there for him. That was my take on it.
Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't there to witness what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it does kind of fit the pattern, you know. And sometimes you know, sometimes it's true or there may be some truth to it. Other times it might be just his perception. It's hard to say at this point. But there's always that potential with an ace that you are too much involved in your own thing and not enough there for your partner. It's always a possibility that that's true.
I definitely can identify with some of that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so one of your lessons in this lifetime might be, and I don't know, I would know if I saw your astrology chart for sure, but it could be that, you know, you come here to learn to how to give to somebody else. See, in astrology, it's very interesting because everything in astrology has an opposite. Like the opposite of being an ace, which is very Aries-like, is to be a Libra, which is like a two, which is very much for the other person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of those is either good or bad. It's not good to be all there for the partner, neither is it good to be all there for myself. What's good is to have a balance. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, though, come into this lifetime with an imbalance. They've been too much on one side. Some of my clients will have a situation where they were just so much there for other people that they have to learn to love themselves. They just forgot. And other ones will have just the opposite. They learn to love themselves, but they forgot to be there for somebody else. And that is more typical for a person who's an ace. But it can be either way. It actually can be either way. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's the Ace of Hearts thing. And the Three of Spades is more about, like, their issues are more around, like, trying to do too much at the same time.
Hmm.
You know? They often have double lives, like they'll be leading two lives at the same time in a certain sense. And I'm not meaning necessarily in a negative way, but they have an inner craving for variety that's so strong that it can cause them to actually be living two separate lives at the same time, just so they can go back and forth between them.
I thought that was multitasking.
It is multitasking on a grand scale. One that no one thought was even possible.
Well,
that's multitasking for sure.
So what is, like, my one card that would represent the year for me?
Yours is the Ace of Diamonds, which means, like, new ways. It could be a person who's an Ace of Diamonds, but it also could mean new ways to make money, a new career, a new start. Financially. Okay?
Because that's also, like, one of my karma cards.
The Ace of Hearts is, yes.
Yeah,
that's true.
And my brother's
Ace
of Diamonds. I have a lot of real significant people in my life that are Ace of Diamonds.
Yeah, and how do you like them?
I love them. I mean, they're a little bit, my brother's a little bit, we rub each other's edges a bit. But I really love him, period. I mean, I respect him and honor him and all that.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what... This could have some additional meaning to you because it is your karma card. To have that for your long-range card could certainly add additional meaning. But I'd have to know a little bit more about you in order to say something intelligent about that. But you could have your brother showing up a lot this year.
Well, he doesn't live here, so it would be great if he showed up physically. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe it'll be some other Ace of Diamonds. Yeah,
well,
you owe the Ace
so
of
much.
Diamonds, too. You owe
What's
the
that?
Ace of Diamonds. You owe the
and,
Ace of Diamonds. If you meet one, you owe him or her.
Well, my mother-in-law is an Ace of Diamonds, and some other people are Ace of Diamonds. And the Three of Hearts who owes me, I have a great Three of Hearts friend.
Well, that's pretty rare.
She's fantastic, and she's a really good buddy, and it's amazing that she's the one that owes me.
It's amazing you even know one because both of your birthdays are so rare.
Really?
Yeah, there's only one birthday of your card, and there's only two birthdays of her card.
Oh, I didn't know that she only had two birthdays. What's that one?
Yeah, it's really rare to meet even a Three of Hearts or an Ace of Hearts. So that's amazing that you guys have met and that you call yourself friends. That's That's pretty, it's like a miracle.
Wow. I'll have to tell her that. We've been friends for a long time, too.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe you'll have like a new desire to start a new career this year. They'll kick in a month or two if it's true. You'll know what it's about within another month or so.
Any Ace of Clubs, man, in my in this year? I mean, Eight of Clubs. Sorry. The Worker Bee card.
Do you know an Eight of Clubs guy that you're interested in?
Well, he's sort of interested in me. But he is a worker bee.
Yeah.
I don't know if he really has time, and I'm not sure about the chemistry.
Well, you know, I would be open to anything, actually. Just be open.
Okay.
I think there's people you haven't met yet who are going to show up, though.
Sounds good.
There's people you have not even met yet, so just keep an idea of what you're looking for in the forefront of your mind, what you'd like to experience. Keep an idea of that just floating around there, and the right person will show up. Or it could be even more than one person, actually.
Oh.
I'm sure you could handle two at once.
I don't
you
want
are
to.
You are a three of spades, after all.
I don't want to. I just want, I'm really, even though I multitask everything else, I'm not really multitasking my intimacy, my sexual life.
Hopefully.
I'm not into that. Yeah.
At least not until now. We'll see how it works out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a call back in a month or so, and let me know how things are going, okay?
Hey, thank you so much, Robert. I hope you get to bed soon because you said you were tired.
Yes, it's been a long day. Thank you, Trish. I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Take care. Good night. Okay, this concludes our show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it, and it was great to be back. I am a little tired, though, after getting up really early this morning. Let's see. That would have been 3 o'clock this morning in California when I woke up this morning. We'll be back next week with the show at the same time. In the meantime, enjoy this last song called Gayatri from my CD Bhakti Rock. And I look forward to being here again next week, and I hope you guys have a wonderful week. We'll see you later. Good night.